Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of History After Hours. My name is Kevin Pumphrey, and with me, like normal, is Mr. Ron Franklin and Mr. Jeremy Nixon. We are three history teachers at Lakeside High School in beautiful Hot Springs, Arkansas. And this is our year-end review podcast. We are looking back at the school year, the 2022-2023 school year. We are recording this on June the 1st. We had to come to school a little bit later than normal, but we talk all about what we thought about this last year as compared to the COVID years, and we get into a little bit of the future and the impact AI might have on us all. So with that, we hope you enjoy the podcast. All right, History After Hours, this is our year-end review, looking back at the 2022-2023 school year here at Lakeside High School. So, gentlemen, first question, what is your overall assessment of how the year went for you and your classes?
Better than last year, and that's the main thing we'll start with. Still some things to work on, you know?
Definitely.
New challenges, but we'll get into that in a minute, I think.
COVID still shadows everything we do.
How long are we going to have to deal with it? I keep thinking about this. Like, is it going to be, because, you know, there were kids that didn't go to kindergarten. There were kids that didn't go to first grade, which is where you learn socialization skills and you learn tactical interface. And, you know, how long before, because I hear nightmare stories coming from like elementary and the middle school and junior high teachers. And they're like, oh, these kids. But it's always been, oh, these kids. So I don't know if it's, you know, are these stories different than the old stories, than the old school stories? I wonder, how long are we going to have to deal with the COVID after effects, the shockwave, you know what I mean? How serious is it?
It definitely colors everything we think about. Before COVID, it felt like we were a lot more rigorous. I was actually probably more negative. After COVID, I'm actually so much more appreciative of just being in front of the kids and teaching, because, you know, thinking back on virtual, that was just horrific for us. We weren't ready for it.
Why would you even bring that up?
I know. So, really, I actually, it's kind of helped me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do that. Just since you did bring it up, open the door, Pandora's box. Mm-hmm. This year compared to last year was, I'm losing track of years. Last year wasn't hybrid year. Last year was normal.
Yeah.
The year before that was the hybrid year, right? Yeah. Which was, oh my God.
Nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Yeah.
I look at pictures of myself before then and after then, after we did that year, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I mean, I'm older, so I mean, it makes sense that my hair is turning gray, but I mean, like, bang different, shockingly different.
Like when presidents leave the White House.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's sort of like that. But then I look back on that story, and I was telling my wife about this the other day. I'm like, I didn't realize at the time how actually stressed I was. And I knew it was busy, and I knew it was hectic, and I didn't want to do it that way, but we had to do it that way, so you just do it in that moment. I look back on it now, and I think I was depressed, too. I had some sort of, and it wasn't, obviously I didn't get a clinical diagnosis, so it's just me speculating. But I look back, and there were, like, the signs of, you know, I would just go home in a mood. It was draining.
It wasn't teaching. The joy of teaching was gone. Even if you did have people show up, that's four people, 18 are at home. We were trying to do double the work. Y'all especially, because y'all were also lecturing all day.
Yes.
While sending stuff home.
How many did you have? Three preps that year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three preps that year.
I was running four.
At the end of all that work, there's nothing to show for it. The kids didn't really learn much.
Right.
You know, and kids lost a year.
They were unplugged. We plugged in double time.
Right.
They were unplugged. And so, yeah, it's almost like you're shouting into the void.
So before COVID, I thought virtual schools was going to be the next. It's coming. It's going to take our jobs. After COVID, I'm like, oh, no, we're not ready.
No way.
I think we're still very useful in the building in front of kids.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. And I'm not against integrating, and I think that's one positive thing that came out of all that. I've integrated more technology type based things that I wouldn't have done before, so that's been helpful. And to have an audio backup of all of the lessons, to have new digital files on all the things and have them accessible, like, those things are handy, especially for kids now that are gone.
Yes.
Here it is. Plug it.
Lifesaver for that.
It's like you're being there. Now, if they'll listen to it and watch the thing.
That's a whole different
story. So will they still interact with it? That's still a challenge, but whatever. But we have those, we have new resources, you know.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
I wouldn't go through that again to get more resources.
Yeah. I mean, this year we each got a Promethean board.
Yeah.
Which is, you know. I think it's going to be even more useful as we move on.
Which I was cranky about at first, I'll admit. I was like, Promethean, why do I need to? But now that I've got it, I do like it.
Yeah, you're that way with any change, though, at this
age. Yeah, well, because I'm 54.
Yeah.
I'm getting in that bubble, you know, I can feel it.
At least you're self-aware. Anything that you did this year differently that you're going to stick with or anything you can think of?
Positive. No. So that no really quickly right before the positive.
Nope.
There wasn't anything new. I feel like my expectations I reset sort of to maybe a pre-COVID level that wasn't ready. And that was a big letdown. In work effort.
Not yours, the kids.
No, not my. Yeah. I added a prep this year, so I've been busting my butt all year, but the work ethic and attitude, and, you know, I love my kids. Some of them I've taught 4 or 5 classes now, and I just, that was my whole thing with this year. Like, I know you're capable of more. Why are we still stuck in this COVID-like mentality of, I can just get by with this? I'm so tired of hearing I can get by with, or can't, what can I get by with? And that's what I really miss about, like you said, the joy of teaching. There's not as much spark of kids wanting to learn for the sake of learning or really getting involved or really getting hyped up.
But it's better than it was.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely better than it was. I mean, mock trial by Zoom, I almost walked out.
I sat in there for a couple of those sessions. That was tough.
Yeah, that was horrible.
So, I mean, it's hard to inspire kids to learn virtually. It's hard enough in the class in front of them when we're trying to entertain them and do our little tricks.
Well, think about how we had set them up for what we did the best we could when we went home for COVID, right? Then in March 2020, when they said, okay, everybody go home. We pivoted. I hate that word now, but we pivoted. And at first it felt like it was going, okay, we're going to make this figured out. We don't know how long we're going to be doing this, but whatever, right? And then just the wheels fell off the wagon and the kids disappeared. And I think a lot of them didn't come back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that was a year of busy work, really.
Yeah.
You couldn't assess them honestly. You couldn't.
Part of what I'm saying is that I think accountability disappeared too, to a certain extent, because, you know, everybody, they pushed us for like, well, you got to understand. You got to be understanding. Some kids can and some kids can't. And some kids will and some kids won't. And then, I think a lot of them developed that mindset that deadlines don't matter and I can redo anything I want to forever until I get it right. And we can share information and we can buy stuff from each other. Remember that whole black market scheme that was going on? I think there's still kids that are stuck in that mode.
We couldn't assess the kids that whole year. You couldn't give them a test because they can just Google the answers. So what's the point? And so, like, it was just a weird, it really changed the way I thought about it, too. Because, like I said, I thought that was the future. And then I realized, oh, no, that's not. I mean, not for learning anyway. Now, something else might happen, but I can't think of anything I changed necessarily. I mean, I have my little system, and I just
tweak it. You got that cool new wheel that you're spinning.
Oh, yeah. That was so the Promethean board, I put all their names. The Wheel of Anxiety is what I call it. I like it. You know, they see all their names on a big wheel that I can spin. And all right, I'm going to ask some people some questions.
Yeah, I think we should clarify that, too, because I've had kids, it makes me stressed out. Stress is good for you. Certain amounts of stress are good for you. Not overly stressed. I understand there are breaking points. But if people come along and said that you don't need to be stressed, like that, that's the opposite of true, actually.
How do you get stronger?
How do you get stronger? That's what was my point.
Literally two types. Like, why am I flashing back to like middle school health? Like you stress and distress. Like, are there two different types of stress or something like that?
Functioning adults and learn how to deal with stress. You're going to have stress in your life. You have to be able to, appropriately deal with things. You can't just go, I'm stressed, and you check out and blame other people for your problems. Like, that's not how that works. So I like your Wheel of Anxiety is what I'm. Tying back into, because you need to be a little anxious.
I mean, I'm trying to push it back
to
normalcy.
Keep you on your toes.
Because the kids need to be pushed back to normalcy. And there was a whole victimhood created by COVID where they saw other students do it. Oh, I can just say I'm having mental health issues and get away with anything. And look, some people really legitimately have all of these things.
Right.
But not everyone. But everyone seems to want to use that as an excuse just to get away with stuff. And you know, we have to push back on that, because that's not the road to success, is everybody being a victim. We have to, you know, at some point, the students have to stand up and be responsible and, you know, as best we can. And then, but also be sympathetic to those students who really are having difficulty handling the new environment.
I think that's
anxiety.
Another positive that came out of this, is trying to be better at identifying kids who are really struggling, as opposed to the ones that are just sort of faking their way through a struggle. And we have better services here at school to help kids deal with stuff. We've got more people on staff, better trained
than ever before.
So I think that's a good thing too.
Yeah, I mean, how ridiculous would it be for kids to sign up for a weightlifting class to get stronger, but they all go, "Well, but I don't want to be stressed out." Well, then you're not going to get stronger.
Online weightlifting.
Online weightlifting. Just think about it. Maybe that'll help. Yeah. So,
don't we offer an online health class?
We do.
Health and PE online. Yes.
We do.
Okay.
But, you know, learning is hard. Learning is difficult. It's stressful. But that's how you learn. Learning is not easy. You can't just sit back and passively. We've talked about this. You can't just passively learn a bunch of stuff. You have to actually work.
Yeah.
And be engaged.
Actually work. There you go.
So really, this is just
words,
another...
New words for some people.
Yeah, right. And it feels like a storm. It's
still, you feel we're in the middle of the storm?
Well, I would have said no, and I know we're going to talk about this later, but I think that AI has sort of reignited it in the way that they can be so apathetic, because now not only... they're not getting maybe as much grace, but now they have something that will do it for them that we can't.
So let's talk about that then. That's a good segue to ChatGPT. Obviously, some tech people have made some noises, like they're worried and that the United States maybe should pause this. And of course, even if the United States does pause it, not everybody's going to pause this.
Even
so it's
when,
going.
Listen, when a James Bond villain like Elon Musk comes out and goes, "We may have messed up here." Mm-hmm. Like even when, right. You know, when he's been, because he was one of the first people to push for that, right?
Yeah.
Because of the Tesla and the self-driving, and so the AI would have to be part of that. And so a lot of them have come out, the Google execs that are retiring or quitting, and then calling people out for it. Like, what monster are we creating, and how do you govern this? Can we govern this? But from a school standpoint, how do we know that a student has learned something if we can't assess them and be sure that it's their work? Like, that's going to be the biggest challenge, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think we talked about we're going old school. We just have to go back to Socratic method. They have to explain it to us in their own words in order to demonstrate this. Now, all of us do discussions in our class. So, I mean, I don't think that's anything new. But extra practice time for writing, sending prompts home. I mean, we can't trust any of that anymore.
Nope.
And, you know, you can't just, like, the parents would be like, "Well, my kid wouldn't lie and do jet." Yeah, well, maybe not, but we
have you met children?
Yeah, I mean.
Have you met people?
Look, I would have done it. You think I wouldn't have used ChatGPT?
Oh, hell yeah.
It would have.
I would have.
Yeah.
No, I'm not begrudging them of it. It's just, but we have to, our responsibility is to make sure that it's you speaking and not the computer that you ran that prompt through. I mean, how did you learn it? Do you know how to organize the information? I think a lot of kids are, I wonder how many of them are actually aware of the problematic nature of that. How many don't care? Because if you're just in it for grades, I guess you probably don't care. If you're here to actually learn, you probably care about it a little bit more. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
have you had any kids talk about it? I'm curious.
I mean, I have. But it's becoming so normalized. I know we talked about this earlier today, just in the hallway, but like, what is it going to look like in a year? I mean, you've already got Microsoft unveiling it into their Word suite, right? So you've already got it that can type emails for business. I mean, it's going to be ubiquitous before we realize it, I think. And at that point, are we beating a dead horse?
Well, every day, here's the big thing, that the engine, the tech that runs ChatGPT, that engine is now creating a line of apps that do nearly everything. So every day you just have new apps coming out that can do this for you.
We're
and
not
that
the only
you.
Country working on this either. So, no. I mean, oh, no, we can't ignore it.
No.
And it has to be developed, because, I mean, I think everybody on the national level is probably worried about the weaponization of something like that. From the kid's standpoint, just going back to them for a second, most of them I've heard complain about, the most complaint I've heard from them is when Snapchat made them take an AI partner or whatever it is, like a helper.
Yeah, Snapchat. Here's my question, though. Are we the, I don't know if you had this teacher, but I had this math teacher that said, "You're not always going to have a calculator with you, so you can't use calculators." Well, I always have a calculator with me because I have an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Are we now those teachers?
Yeah, so you can look at this several ways. You can look at this since the Industrial Revolution, we have been moving this way. We've been moving towards being less human than we used to be. We rely, I mean, we're already dependent on our phones. We're dependent on computers. This is just the next thing. I do think we are outrunning our pace. I just think technology is exploding, and I think it's just becoming more obvious with AI, and because we can see it all because of the internet that has been developed, we know about every little change.
I still think it's necessary for people to know things as opposed to just look things up. Because I mean, if you're talking about it from a calculator standpoint, this formula creates this answer that we need to accomplish this other task. But here, there's so much potential misinformation or disinformation or misinterpretation of information.
Sure.
That to me, that's more dangerous and therefore more problematic.
Yeah, I think still the AI program, it's not creating as much as it is just plagiarizing different parts together. But, you know, this goes back to a fundamental question. What is the usefulness of learning? It would be easy to go, you know, maybe we don't need to teach all these kids all this stuff.
Well,
but what I mean, right, really,
well, let's, you know, argue, I mean, that point.
It's all on the technology.
Seems counterintuitive since we're all teachers, but let's go ahead and let's argue against our profession.
I do it all the time. I argue against myself constantly.
Why are you here, kids? There's no reason for this. Go home.
So what is the value of learning it? You said, I still think kids need to know this stuff. So learning writing skills and reading skills knowledge, what is intrinsically at some point it has
as
to...
As a functioning member of a working society, I think you need to understand how...
Critical thinking.
Yeah, right. Yeah, critically think your way through as opposed to just, I mean, otherwise we're just automatons. And then you're just like consuming and then producing waste. Is that what we want to turn society into?
So we all agree that learning is important because it adds some intrinsic value to your life. That value could be money, a great career because you learned how to do that. Or it could just be, look, I'm just a curious person. I love to, my happiness index goes up when I'm learning. Trying to find out about stuff and learning about stuff.
Ants have functioning societies, but none of them think for themselves. I don't want to be like that. That's dystopian to me.
No hive-minded.
Yeah.
Well, and at what point, if AI keeps developing, at what point do we stop critically thinking and it starts critically thinking? Because I've been saying, you know, the whole AI will be the end of humans for a while now, that conspiracy.
Return into the people from WALL-E. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, my kids talked about it this week. Literally that.
You're sitting in their little floaty chairs with your super soaker drink and the big screen in front of you, and you turn into this blob. Did you know we had a pool? I mean,
I think this AI.
They put on their VR and get in the pool.
So general AI that can do a little bit of everything, instead of like, you got specific AI that just does one thing great, like plays chess or whatever. You got general AI that can do a little bit of everything like us. But what happens when you get to super AI, which is AI that can create other AI?
Yeah.
Then it gets...
Do you think they're already there and we just don't know about it?
I don't think there's going to be like a singularity, like a moment where it's all going to change. But I do think it's going to change rapidly, especially once a machine can create another machine without human
input. When we have this same podcast next year, it'll be interesting to answer that question. Where will we be next year? Yeah.
Welcome to History After Hours. My name is...
Our time capsule.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just have AI listen to all the old podcasts and then record.
Yeah, we won't even have to record one next year. We could use ChatGPT to record our podcast.
Recording the podcast, though.
There's no need for us to do it. They do a better job anyway.
Well.
They don't stutter and, you know, what's that word? Well, of course, it's not going to be long before that they can create a virtual you online by assessing everything we've said online, all of our pictures, everything.
Is that a form of...
identity theft?
Well, yes.
Maybe.
But also, is that immortality at that point?
Well, that's, I mean, we talked about that too, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. Because, yeah, we've been talking about those things kind of all week.
Our great-grandkids might be able to talk to a virtual version of us.
Like, because essentially...
Well, how many of my memories can you download? Well, speaking of Elon Musk with the brain chips.
Yeah.
How many of my memories can you download and then it be me into this thing? I don't know. Like, if I'm a collection of my memories.
Right, yeah.
Stimulus response based
There's
on those things.
There's a show about that on Amazon.
Is there?
Yeah. Oh. I forget what it's called. But basically, you... die and they upload your memories into this virtual world.
Oh, far out.
Like your families go visit you and stuff.
Well, you probably do this more than I do in government. I do think one of the shifts we have to make in our classes is we have to really impress upon the kids the importance of learning, to learn, not to, you can't rely on technology. Well, you really need to learn. We got to be able to tell the kids why. knowing your rights, knowing when somebody's taking advantage of you. Because if you don't, if just in that one little aspect of legal rights, you know, people take advantage of you and you don't even know that they're taking advantage of you if you don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's one. So I think we need to come up with more examples of why critical thinking, why learning.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
That's a great one because people will take advantage of you if you don't.
You're talking about identity theft. I saw a thing, I guess it was yesterday, a little thing from Ice Cube, who said that he would sue anybody who made a replication of his voice or tried to use his imagery or sound without his permission.
Yeah.
So
I mean, do you own your voice? And apparently, I guess you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of mentioned that.
Do you have to go out and... Do you have an automatic copyright of your entity?
Of the tone of your voice?
Licensing your image is a real thing.
Licensing your image is...
But at what point do you need to do that?
Is your voice your image?
Or is it automatically yours? Or do you have to, like, go get a copyright for yourself? Is it automatically applied?
You know, there's this... Really, Lord, it's been a long time since I've thought about intellectual property law. There's this really old concept of sort of, it's like a non-registered copyright. Like, if you are known for something in your locale and someone starts infringing upon it, you can go back.
Only
and say,
if
like,
you're
this
known
is,
for it? And, like, at what point do you get to qualify as known?
Therein lies the question. Yeah. I mean, I think that if you're talking about, it like a music artist, a recording artist, I think because they have to go through so much lay down tracks and it has to be produced, and I think there are so many things that go into that that it's easy to copyright and you can register it easily. But if we're talking about one of our lectures, it's a much harder, it's a more nebulous concept.
Yeah, but I mean, I can make the same arguments. I mean, I created that.
Sure. I just don't know the weight of legal protection it's going to get. And that's because if you think about it,
it only works if I sell tickets. Like, that's not fair.
Well, so that's where I was going with it. So the Constitution doesn't say anything about capitalism, but it does talk about protecting intellectual property in the form of what we think of trademarks, patents, copyrights.
Is my personage a
copyrightable thing?
Copyrightable thing.
I mean, I don't honestly know. And since we don't see that, I guess you can argue it both ways. If I'm just sitting and talking with someone about history, like we're doing in podcasts or every day, and we're putting it out there, are we giving it away for free? As opposed to when we're doing this in the classroom and then we're actually receiving a paycheck. But that begs the secondary question, then do we own it or does the school own it? Because if you're working for a business and produce something, technically the business owns your intellectual property outputs.
Oh.
Well, if you think about it.
Good thing this is after hours.
Yes.
If you think about an independent artist that sings, you could have an AI program that takes their voice and just puts something on it to make it a little different.
Yeah.
Still sounds great. Still sounds kind of like them, but not. So there's probably going to be some artificial intelligence created to, it's a 99% match. That's
what about
not
the AI
legal.
That's,
if it's 89.
This is something that's actually happening where they go, okay, produce me a song or just write me a song in the style of this person and that person. Ta-da. Now what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't know.
In the style of.
In the style of.
Yeah.
Well, what about, look, we all train these things. We don't know that we did. But every time you identify all the traffic lights in this thing, we're teaching robots how to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two or three things, surveys. There's several things that we do on a daily basis, not a daily maybe, but that they use to make their robots even better, you know, to go do the Turing test, you know, to replicate a human without you knowing it's a robot. So we've been training them accidentally all the time. It's a weird, so they're going to create AI to combat AI. You know, it's going to be.
what's that? Well, I saw a question one time. It's like, if I knew that you were a robot, but you didn't, would you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like AI could lead us to a utopia and solve all of our problems. Or, of course, it could also make us extinct.
Yeah. I mean, look, Isaac Asimov was writing about that.
What year was that?
1950s? 40s,
I was going to say 50s, right?
40s, 50s. Yeah. iRobot, where like the three laws you can't through action or inaction. Let a human come to harm. Well, they determined what does it go? They determined that humans' greatest threat was to themselves, so they had to Yeah, I mean, you know.
Dude, if you look at the game changer to me, and this, I didn't know it was happening at the time. This was in the 90s. But when that Garry Kasparov, the number one Russian tennis, the chess player, he was taking notes. When he was, they have his notes that he was taking while he was playing the AI, the robot, whatever. And one of his notes was, he's not calculating anymore, he's thinking.
Oh, lovely.
And that was like in 1994. Yeah.
They couldn't have shared that then.
Have you ever seen, there's a Tom Cruise movie, forgive me for that, but there's a Tom Cruise movie called Minority Report.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go watch Minority Report again, because you mentioned iRobot, because that was Will Smith, right?
Yes,
Will Smith. Movie. I know you're talking about the book. But,
yeah.
So a lot of things that are sort of popped up in Minority Report are sort of out there, you know.
Yeah.
We could do more predictions, but as fast as this pace is going, we also have the Learns Act that is going to be here in Arkansas that's going to be initiated. We got new standards we have
that's
to go
on,
through.
Okay,
it's on hold right now.
Just real quick with Learns Act. Right. It's on pause currently. Yeah. Because a judge was like, hey, you didn't vote. Explain the you didn't vote on it the right way thing.
Yeah, so I haven't read the actual pleadings, so I may be a little off on this. But essentially they're saying the way it was presented and the way that it was pushed through the Arkansas legislature violated.
They're saying the emergency clause is ineffective.
But there are certain parameters
unconstitutional
certain parameters for when you declare emergency, what that means definitionally, because in Arkansas, legislation typically goes into effect after the legislative body adjourns. I think it's like 30 days after. And they did not want to do that. So they declared an emergency, which you don't usually see in an education bill. And it's been a long time since I looked at what constitutes an emergency under the statute.
So the words I heard were like roll call vote. They didn't do that. And so it's a procedural error.
Well, and so that's, I didn't hear about the roll call vote, but there are, again, certain procedural requirements that have to happen just by a process of Arkansas legislative rules so that it can be properly read. I think we have to have two readings, if I'm not mistaken. And then it has to be procedurally voted on by usually a roll call. Now, I didn't know they didn't do that.
That's what I heard when I listened to somebody talking about what the judge had stated when he was putting the pause on here. And of course, the backlash from the governess and her henchmen was immediate. Like, the liberal this and that, and they're just going to push leftist agenda, yada, yada. And instead of actually saying, oops, we didn't do that procedurally correct,
right? And he's not.
It was right, yeah.
A liberal judge. He's a very conservative.
Yeah, well,
judge,
you know, it's talking points at this time, I guess.
And we're getting into an election year, so next year should be really exciting. As we drill down on the
predictability for what Learns Act is going to bring to us. Anything?
Book
bans? Are they going to do that like other states?
I don't know.
We have to clear out our personal libraries.
Like the also to enforce that kind of thing.
Are we going
to
have 10 commandments on the wall this time next year?
I know. I don't. Do we even have the money to fund this thing from the changes they've already made?
Well, you know they're getting the funding for the literacy coaches from
where's that coming from? I don't know.
Oh yeah, so we're spending the rest of the COVID money on it.
Oh
yeah, that's the newest thing. And
that's a limited funding.
Yes,
so now
one
what?
Time it only funds for a year.
So the year after that,
and
then
in
what?
Second and third years they don't have the money.
So taxes raised. Or cutting spending on something else.
Well, you know, we have to have a balanced budget, so they're going to have to figure something out, which is what people were saying when they rushed the bill through in, 72 hours or less?
Something like that, yeah.
That you don't tell us how you are providing for the money for this.
Right.
And they never did, and that's because they don't have it.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, it seems impossible to enforce a lot of the stuff that's being talked about. I just want, as a teacher, I want autonomy. I just want to be left alone and let me do my job. If I'm not doing my job...
I don't want the building to crumble around me either.
Right.
You know, so...
Well, of course, yeah. I mean...
Think about all these schools, and so many people were like, well, it's a good thing because of the teacher raises for all the people.
Well, they didn't look into it very deeply.
I get why you might feel that that's a good thing, but the funding equity moving forward isn't going to be there. What happens to your small schools? What happens to when all these kids and parents start to take on the ability to move kids around, shuffle kids around? Like it's going to be a nightmare for a while, maybe until the dust settles. We actually know what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm pensive about it, I guess.
I feel like I can't control it. I think Lakeside, the admin, has been so good to us, letting us do our thing.
Yeah,
I think they
absolutely
trust
But it also still feels like we're on this giant wave with big sharp rocks at the bottom. You know, I don't know how this is going to pan out.
So what it is, I was looking up Judge Wright's order. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I'm trying to get up the Article 5 of the Arkansas Constitution, but it looks like the emergency clause has to be based on a separate roll call vote, which it was not.
Okay.
And that might render it procedurally unconstitutional.
So what do they do to fix that? Do they override his order, or do they go back and do it the right way now? The session's over, though.
Yeah, there are two options here. So a Court of Appeals will be your first, or you could ask the Supreme Court to step in.
I think they
Arkansas
did that already.
Supreme
I think,
Court.
Yeah.
And look, the Arkansas Supreme Court is an elected body, so my prediction on that is that the governor will prevail.
Yeah.
If, for some reason, the governor does not prevail, can call the legislature into session for an emergency. I don't know if that's plausible at this point. I would have to go back and read. Wow, this feels like me in the year 2017, but at a national level. I'd have to go back and read what constitutes an emergency and how you get them back into session, but it is possible.
It's just so early in the process, it's kind of hard to even know, even if they finally get it rolling, what it's going to do, much less this kind of stuff.
By this time next year, we should have a clear indication of who's going to be the nominees for the presidential campaign.
Yes.
Or for the race, I mean.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, next year is going to be a little more exciting just because of the presidential race, which, once again, I always tell my students, we put too much emphasis on, too much blame, too much credit, the whole thing.
Me too.
Local politics is where it's at. But either way, it's like a sport now. Politics is a sport, and people are watching it and yelling at the other side. So it should make things more entertaining, maybe more scary. We'll see. But anyhow, let's wrap up. Let's go summer plans. Or if you don't have summer plans, you can talk about one thing you want to see next year. But any summer plans specifically?
Just rest and travel. I mean, what do they say? Rest and recharge. That's the main plan.
Oh yeah, you do a lot of driving. You'll go somewhere.
We just get in the car and go. So a lot of times we just
anything place specific.
My wife is a big fan of beaches. And so we're going to probably find a beach somewhere and hang out for a while. Other than that, sometimes we just wing it. Pick a direction, which is kind of has its own set of challenges, but it's also kind of cool just to kind of go. Kind of reminds us when we were younger, because when we first got together, that's what we would do. Just get in and go somewhere. Just drive and then see where we end up. Don't even get a reservation. Just where are we going to stop? You know, we just do that kind of thing sometimes. Yeah. Unfold the map. Of course, now we got the digital maps. But unfold it and just pick a point. Can we get from A to B in this amount of time? Sure, let's go. And you see something cool close by, you go do that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Great American Road Trip Adventure thing.
Yeah, you should record it.
No. No. Just going to go and disappear.
Okay. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, what y'all?
Same thing? Dixon, any summer plans?
Not big ones. I think I'll probably take a couple of small road trips, kind of like what Franklin's talking about. I know that I'm going to St. Louis to watch the U.S. men's national soccer team play in CONCACAF, and I'm excited about that because I'm a soccer fan. While I'm there, I'm going to catch the Astros and the Cardinals. I've never been to a Major League Baseball game, so
that should be real fun.
So I'm kind of doing stuff like that.
Look at you being all American and stuff.
I know, right? I'm like, hey, what have I not done that's close by that I can just,
Baseball to me is boring to watch on TV, but at the stadium, there's like this cool vibe. I really like it.
I've never been
to a pro basketball game. I've never been to a pro football game, but I have been to St. Louis specifically, and actually when it was still the old Busch Stadium, but I hadn't been to the new one actually.
Baseball reminds me a little bit of hockey. In the fact that you have what's going on, but also the crowd is doing its own thing. They got the organ playing.
That's what I'm saying.
There's some time.
You got the thing on the field, but there's also
the
atmosphere. Yeah, I assume soccer is the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is it's funny you said hockey because I was never a hockey fan, and one of my law school friends loved Nashville Predators, and so we ended up going up there, and then next thing I know, I'm at like hockey games, I have no clue what I'm...
My problem is I don't understand the rules of hockey. Are there rules? Because it's just like putt, and then there's like clashes of the Titans, and then all of a sudden somebody will blow a whistle, and there's a foul, Yeah. And then they run a play. I'm like, what? What?
And then they break into a boxing match. Yeah.
And then I was like, they're gonna run a play. Like, what was all this other crap? What were you doing then?
I love hockey. I love hockey fights and I don't watch the fight as much because it's a real. If you talk to a hockey purist, it is part of the sport.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing is to watch the refs or umps, whatever they call them. Because when the fight breaks out, the ref just kind of slowly backs up, just kind of lets them go for a while, and then he'll kind of get in there when they get tired, they get winded after.
Who
a
gets
minute.
The penalty?
Well, you get a penalty.
The loser, the person who loses, gets the penalty. Is that how it works?
I mean, they have a 2 minute.
I never actually worked.
You can go in the box for 2 minutes for inciting a fight. So you, like, if they hear you yelling, it's a crazy sport.
I
did a deep dive on rugby. That's a crazy sport too. But anyhow, rugby. All right.
I tell you, I hope rugby. This is going to be completely tangential. Let me bounce off that and go back to American football for a second. There's some strong statistical information saying that American football was actually safer before they got all these super pads and helmets. Like back when it was still leather helmets and just go at each other because you knew when to pull up because you knew you could get hurt. Now it's almost like this feeling of invincibility because you have this armor on, but there's more concussions and
they use their head as
severe,
a battering ram.
Sometimes career ending. There's 100% injury rate in the NFL. 100% injury rate.
Yeah.
And some of them are severe.
If they went back to leather helmets, they wouldn't use their head.
Well,
like
that's what I'm saying. So it was actually safer then.
It's the same thing with MMA gloves. If you make them to go bare knuckle, there'll be less injuries because you're not going to break your hand on somebody's jaw. It's okay. Yeah. You know, by the way, I probably.
But your rugby statement made me think about the.
Yeah. I might own the world record for someone who was most into sports at one point in their life and then just slowly backed away to nothing. I barely keep up with anything anymore. It's crazy. Me and my family are going to Oregon again next week. So we have like our PD day on
Monday.
Never
really explored Oregon. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's especially green. During the dead of summer. It's
all
great.
I know is like green and banana slugs.
Yeah, well, there's all Crater Lake. There's the Redwood Forest is pretty close.
So you're doing Northern California as well?
Yeah, we might sweep into Northern California. We'll go to the coast. It's too cold to swim, but it's just beautiful rocky coast.
Yeah.
My favorite thing, though, about Oregon is that in the evening, like at 6, 7 o'clock, it's warm. But there's no bugs. You just walk outside, leave the doors open. I'm like, what is this place? Aren't you worried about mosquitoes? But there are no mosquitoes. It's great. So I like going during the summer.
Magical land where there are no mosquitoes. Imagine that.
Yeah, and the kids are excited. So
you've got relatives up there.
My wife's family. Yeah, she used to go there every summer as a kid. So we try to go out there every
drive and fly.
Years. We're flying, and
that'll be a long drive with kids.
Yeah. Well, to get the tickets, we have to drive to Dallas, and already I'm going to be mad. But then we fly, and but it'll be a good. We get to stay with her, cousin, and it's a cool little place to go. But when you think of Oregon, you think of the very liberal part. We're staying in a place called Medford, which is it's not that much different from the culture here in Arkansas. Like we think of states as one thing, but. Go to Florida. Start at the top and go down. See what you got. You run into all types. So, but it's still a cool. Southern Oregon, that's kind of the area we'll be going. It's a pretty cool place to visit.
Well, awesome. Well, happy travels.
All right. Well, that is the end of the school year 2022 to 2023. We will see you in the fall. Goodbye.